and put the holy crown on the turban, and you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. And then you shall bring his sons and put coats on them, and you shall gird Aaron and his sons with sashes and bind caps on them. And the priesthood shall be theirs by a statute forever. Thus you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. And then right down to the end of the chapter, verse 43. God says, there, that is at the tabernacle with the priests, I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. When I was young, I read a book by the children's author Roald Dahl that was the account of his childhood. It was a book called Boy. Anybody read Boy by Roald Dahl? It's a good one. And in it, as part of the book, he describes the preparations for him going away to school to a famous school called Repton that's actually not far away from here. And he describes the special uniform he had to wear. Maybe we can have the slide up. There was a special shirt with a very stiff collar. There was a tie, and there were special pinstripe trousers with braces instead of a belt. There was a jacket with tails, and he describes it as, without a doubt, the most ridiculous garment I have ever seen, and a wide-brimmed straw hat. And at the end of the long description of the uniform he put on, he says that after he tried it on for the very first time, he says, my sisters shrieked with laughter when I appeared. He can't go out in those, they cried. He'll be arrested by the police. And maybe you read Exodus chapter 28 and you feel a bit like the sisters. Why is Aaron dressed like that? God has given the instructions for the tabernacle, that is the temple tent, in the previous couple of chapters, and now he gives the instructions for the people who are going to serve in that temple tent. Because the people of Israel, they can't simply go tramping into the tent one after the other in a big long queue. They can't simply go walking over to the ark and the mercy seat all covered in gold and covered with the cherubim, the heavenly beings. They need priests. And even the priests need to be specially prepared. And it is quite some preparation. Why is Aaron dressed like that? We need to think about these clothes, I think, like a special kind of uniform. And a special kind of uniform full of symbolism and full of meaning. And we do need to think about them. Although God has ended the system that we read about here, he has not binned the account of it. He has kept this as scripture. We encounter these instructions in a different way that Moses did and a different way that the Old Testament Israelites did, but it is still God's word to us. Why is that? I think one of the reasons is that these chapters help us to begin to make more sense of Jesus Christ and see just how wonderfully and just how fully God has blessed us in him. You think about it. When you get new stuff, what do you normally do with the old stuff that it replaces? If you've gotten better at reading recently, and so your old books with the very big print and not very many words on the page and really no use to you now because you're reading books which are much longer and much smaller print, what do with the old books? You probably put them in a box and put them away, or you probably sell them. If you've got a new phone recently, what do with the old phone? You give it away, or you recycle it, or maybe even you bin it. Often we get rid of old stuff because you don't really need it anymore. But not here. God has given these chapters and he has kept these chapters to increase our joy and to deepen our sense of having been blessed by God and the security that we have in him, and to stir up our praise. We're going to think mostly about chapter 28 this morning, and particularly the clothes. Why is Aaron dressed like that? And the first reason is that he is dressed for a job. Aaron is dressed to bear people to God. Think about, we read the section about the breast piece, a sort of a piece that went, it's about 9 inches by 9 inches, so it kind of sat sort of across him there and over his chest. And one of the details about that breast piece is the precious stones. You get three stones, and they're all set in gold. And verse 21, each of these stones is engraved with its name for the 12 tribes. You've got a name of a tribe engraved onto a stone, and you've got 12 stones, so 12 tribes. And then the next few verses, maybe you began to kind of drift a bit in the few verses that followed there, but it gets very detailed about how the breast piece is meant to be fixed to the ephod, which was a kind of apron-like thing. How it was meant to be fixed in place, because verse 29, Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel, not kind of dangling around somewhere, and goodness knows where it ends up because it's a bit uncomfortable, but on his heart, when he goes into the holy place to bring them to regular remembrance before the Lord. And actually, you get something similar with the two-piece onyx shoulder stones with the ephod in verse 12. Between those two stones, you get 6 tribes of Israel engraved on the stone there and 6 tribes engraved on the stone there. And it says, verse 12, Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his 2 shoulders for remembrance. In one sense, the average Israelite would never set foot in the tabernacle tent. They would come into the big complex area for worship where the altar was, but they didn't go in the tent. They would never go in the most holy bit of the tent, right in front of the ark. There were only 1 tribe would be priests. There were 11 tribes who never went inside. And you get a flavour of why. One of the things that stands out, if you go through these 2 chapters with a highlighter and went looking for the word consecrate or the word holy, there are lots. In the original language, both those words in English, they come from the same root word. They come up 26 times in these 2 chapters. Having the holy God dwell amongst us. Somehow approaching the holy God as sinful people, that is a serious business. It required very special preparation. The priests needed to be made holy. The stuff of the worship needed to be made holy. The people needed to be declared holy. You might just think about the details that you get in chapter 29. You get the sin offering of the bull in verses 10 through 14. You get a burnt offering with a ram in the verses that follow that. You then get another ram, and that has to be, the priests have to be anointed and sprinkled with its blood. And then it needs to be sacrificed as a fellowship offering or a peace offering. And then as this whole arrangement of ordination is going on, it takes 7 days, and you sacrifice a bull every day to consecrate the altar. And then right at the end, you get the instructions for a sacrifice every day, a lamb in the morning and another lamb in the evening. And in the midst of all this preparation, there was the serious danger of death. Chapter 28, verse 35, maybe you, if you scanned across it, Aaron's robe had to have bells on it. And do you know why it had to have bells on it? So that he does not die. Maybe they were a signal of his formal approach. Verse 37, it says Aaron had to bear Israel's guilt. And on this turban, he had to wear it was either a little crown or a little kind of golden plate that said, Holy to the Lord. He had to wear on his head a reminder of holiness so that the people may be accepted before the Lord. And verse 43, if you want to get really serious, the priests all had to wear special underwear, special sanctified boxer shorts. And why? lest they bear guilt and die. Presumably the idea is that their approaches to God are very, very different from the way that the pagan nations worshipped. Sin and the way that it defiles us, and the way that it even defiles our gifts directed to God, is a massive problem. It is a massive barrier. Because what happens when sin meets God's holiness? Death happens. And so how can God dwell among them? How can they know God and worship God and enjoy God and approach even into the tabernacle complex? And the answer is through properly prepared and consecrated priests, mediators, go-betweens. And in that, it gets very deep. Because although in one sense the people never went in the tent, on the other hand, every Israelite went right into the most holy place, carried right to the ark, right to the mercy seat on Aaron's shoulders. Every Israelite was born right to the footstool of God on Aaron's heart. Aaron would approach God and he would serve on the people's behalf. He would offer for sin and he would offer to mark the people's dedication to God. And he would offer to mark fellowship with God with his people. And so you would get this wonderful reality that God summarizes down in 29 verse 45. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And yet, as you think, sort of with a big Bible head on, if you like, there were limitations even here. Chapter 28, verse 43, this was for Aaron and all who came after him. Aaron was going to die one day. And so there would need to be a successor, and the successor would die, and there'd need to be another one, and they would die, and there would need to be another one. They'd go through priest after priest after priest. They'd need to keep on renewing this arrangement. And if you read on into the rest of the Old Testament, you find it doesn't take very long for even the priests to become quite corrupt. And later on, right into the New Testament, the writer of the Hebrews will point out that actually all these sacrifices, all this animal blood, was just a placeholder arrangement. Because he says it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And with these things in mind, then, we can just begin to grasp the enormity of what God has given us in Jesus Christ. Maybe we can have the next slide up. In Hebrews chapter 9 in the New Testament, the writer there says, Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, that is like the tabernacle, the tent, and then the big temple that came later on, which are copies of the true things. But Christ has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. And he goes on, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin, not by the blood of bulls and goats and sheep and rams, but by the sacrifice of himself. I talked last week about just some of the ways that sometimes we can feel quite hesitant and quite anxious about coming to church on a Sunday just because we feel so not put together spiritually and everybody else seems to have it all together. I mentioned a man who I came across in another church who used to only come on very rare occasions, and when he came, he'd stand right at the back. And yet, have you considered that if your faith is in Jesus Christ, Christ bears you right into the heavenly presence of God? In one sense, that is much more mortifying than turning up and sitting with everybody else here. And it is much more wonderful. In the face of our every sense of defilement, in the face of our every sense of the weight of our sins, in the face of our every sense of not being fit, not being spiritually put together, Jesus carries us right to the Father. And he invites us to approach what he describes as a throne of grace, a throne where you might find help. And our welcome there and the promise of help there is not on the basis of a whole system of animal bloods. It is certainly not on what we think might make what might feel good about ourselves or might make us hopeful that God is suitably impressed or suitably approves. But it is on the blood of the Son of God himself, truly covering every sin. And what sort of God with us do we have? Have you ever considered what an extraordinary thing it is to have been given the Holy Spirit? Aaron and his sons served, and God dwelt among his people. We'll come to the climax in a few weeks. And the tabernacle's there, right in the middle of the camp of Israel. They were all camped around the tabernacle at the middle. And God was truly present, specially present. But what has Jesus Christ done? He has literally poured the Holy Spirit right into your heart. He has literally poured out his Holy Spirit right into the midst of his church, the midst of his people gathered. We worry about facing God on a Sunday, but he is much nearer than we have appreciated. Now that is a serious business, but it also speaks to just how thoroughly Jesus has made atonement and brought the Father near to us. Now, what do you do with all that? In one sense, just very simply, look again and pause over the details and begin to appreciate what God has done since, what God was putting in place then and what he has done since, and worship Jesus Christ. Exodus 28 and 29, in one sense, they don't tell you stuff that you don't know. But they do underline in big, fat, red marker for us just how good it is to know Christ. Aaron was dressed to bear the people to God, and Jesus Christ has done far, far more for you. But secondly then, Aaron was also dressed with the beauty of God. One of the other things that stands out from Aaron with Aaron's clothes is just how fancy they were. And you need to not think red carpet, you don't need to think wedding gear, you need to, you know, hand-tailored suits and special designer dresses, just shove it to one side. You need to think, maybe we can have another picture up, you need to think something like the attendants all around the king at a coronation. Now, they don't actually wear the king's clothes, the king is wearing kind of some really special stuff, but you notice they all kind of match. You got people who are dressed a bit like him, and you might notice that even the people in the black suits behind, they're covered in gold, just like the king is. Aaron's uniform is ornate, and it's jeweled, and it's expensive, and you might have noticed, chapter 28, verse 5, it's made out of the same stuff that the tabernacle was made out of. Gold and blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. That's how, what the tent was made out of. And in chapter 28, verse 31, he's got a robe involved in it as well. And the robe is all blue. And you might just cast your mind back to Exodus chapter 24, where God meets with the leaders of Israel on Mount Sinai. And it says they saw God. And it says the pavement under God's feet was like sapphire stone. It was blue, very, very blue. And Aaron's robe echoes that. And what's the point of all the details, all the fanciness? God explains it in verse 2 and then again down in verse 40 of chapter 28. Aaron particularly, but the priests altogether are to wear holy garments for glory and for beauty. Aaron is dressed with the glory and the beauty of God. Even as Aaron and his sons represent the people to God, carry the people into the holy place on shoulders and on heart, they also give a flavor of God to the people. In this tabernacle, which in various ways has a flavor of Eden about it, there are people walking around in it and serving in it, dressed also with a flavor of the beauty of Eden, the beauty of the God who made it. And then you might just think about, what was God's plan for Adam and Eve in Eden? It was that they would spread that cultivated beauty out across all the earth. God has already described the whole people as a kingdom of priests. You might say the people, in a sense, will bring God to the world. And one writer on this chapter describes the clothes this way. Aaron's beautiful robes were an idealized statement of the beautiful people God wanted to reflect his own beauty. And in an important sense, that carries on. In his first letter, the Apostle Peter just reflects on what it means to be born again through Jesus Christ. And he says this, "You, that is Christians, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." And what does it look like to proclaim the Lord's excellencies? Well, a couple of verses later, Peter says, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." So on the one hand, absolutely, you proclaim the excellencies of the Lord in words. The Lord's people proclaim the gospel out in the world. And yet it is also in the beauty and the glory of honorable conduct, of Christ-like lives, reflecting the beauties and the glories of the God to whom we belong, the God who has given us new lives. Tomorrow we will head out to work and to school and into the daily business of friendships and family life. And, you know, you will wear the same old clothes you're used to wearing, whatever your work uniform is, or the suit that you wear, or a school blazer, or maybe if you get to kind of do whatever you do in normal clothes, you'll just wear what comes out the wardrobe. But through the resurrection, Jesus has given you a new life. And in these new lives, he has clothed us with tremendous dignity. Nothing less than the beauty and the glory of God himself. In the things that we say to others tomorrow, and the way that we say them, in the way that we treat people, in the way that we react to different situations we come across, in the grace that we extend to others, in the way that we step back from joining in with sin, there will be a flavor of the king and of his kingdom. Now, the point here is not to terrify us with an impossible and awful task, but to consider what God has already done to us in Jesus. And so then not to simply drift into another week as if it's just what we do, but to self-consciously own what the Lord has done to us and walk in it. Aaron's robes might not be your first thought when it comes to thinking about your witness this week, but maybe it's just strange enough to help you pause. Aaron was dressed with the beauty of the Lord, and in Christ so have you been. Why was Aaron dressed the way he was dressed? He was dressed to bear the people to God, and he was dressed with the beauty of God. God invites us here to look back at Aaron, that we might see the richness of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, and what he has done for us and what he leads us in, so that we might draw near with confidence and daily serve him with dignity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again we ask, as we have sung the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would work it deep into our hearts, so that we might securely enjoy knowing you, enjoy your presence with us, and eagerly anticipate more. Work it into our hearts, that daily we might serve you in every way, the thing that you have given us, with dignity and honour. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
As we began our worship in song, may we end our worship in song too, as we sing about the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope in life and death, the only hope.